Welcome to the Friends with Money podcast, brought to you by Money Magazine, creating financial freedom for Australians since 1999.
Hello and welcome to another episode of the Friends with Money podcast. My name is Tom Watson, a senior journalist here at Money Magazine, and it's great to be with you once again. On the evening of Tuesday, May 9th, Treasurer Jim Chalmers will hand down the 2024 Australian federal budget, Labor's second budget since coming into power last year, and its first in the traditional May slot. Like the October budget, this one is going to be delivered against an interesting economic backdrop, though, with relatively high inflation and resulting cost of living pressures proving key areas of concern that the government will be looking to address and navigate. So here to help us give some perspective on the wider economic context and to chat about some of the measures that we might see feature in the May budget is HSBC's Chief Economist, Australia New Zealand, Paul Bloxham. Paul, thank you so much for joining us today.
No worries. Great to be here.
Paul, as I mentioned, it feels like there's quite the backdrop to this year's budget. So I guess zooming out a little bit, what are some of the broader economic issues that have been playing out in Australia and abroad that the Treasurer will have been thinking about in crafting this year's budget?
Well, you're absolutely right. There are a lot of moving parts in the overall picture right now. I think the primary thing that we're going to see in focus for fiscal policy and for the budget is still going to be the concern there is about high inflation in the economy. And that has a couple of different dimensions. From a fiscal perspective and from a political perspective, it means that the government will be looking to find some ways, at least, to provide support for people who are facing the cost of living pressures associated with that high inflation. But what's most interesting, at least from a macroeconomic perspective, is at the moment that high inflation is meaning, of course, that the RBA, the Reserve Bank, is lifting interest rates very quickly or has lifted them very quickly and is trying very hard to slow the economy down in order to try to get inflation back to where it needs to be. It's been running at 7% and it needs to be running at closer to 2 to 3%. That's what they target. That's what they've been doing, tightening monetary policy, lifting interest rates, trying to slow the economy. And what's most interesting is that the fiscal settings, we think, will also largely contribute to that story, that the government is very well aware that they've got a high inflation challenge, that if the budget were to be a big spending budget, one that delivered a lot of support for the economy, that it would work against the challenge of slowing down inflation. And it would mean that fiscal policy was doing something different, the budget was doing something different to what monetary policy was trying to achieve. And they're well aware that that just wouldn't work, that actually it's better that these two arms of policy are coordinated. And this is a really quite unusual feature because normally it's very, monetary and fiscal policy can be coordinated in the face of negative shocks. When we see a downturn, say the global financial crisis, when it came along, there was an enormous amount of stimulus delivered from the RBA and the government. And likewise, when the pandemic came along, there was an enormous amount of stimulus provided by the RBA and the government. But it's rare that actually when things are tightening up, when the economy needs to slow down and inflation needs to come down, that both of these arms of policy are likely to be coordinated. And that's exactly what we're seeing going on this time around, or we expect to see in the budget. We think it's going to be pretty cautious. It's not going to be a big spending budget. It's going to be quite focused on the idea that they need to tread very lightly if they're not going to add to that inflation challenge that we face in the economy. So I think that's actually the most interesting aspect. They've got a fine line here, a narrow pathway to tread, if you like. So they want to provide some support for households in the face of cost of living pressures, but they can't pump prime the economy too much because that would just lead to the RBA needing to lift interest rates more. And the fact that these two things are coordinated this time around is quite unusual.
So in a broader sense, we might see that this budget is similar in a way to the October budget then in terms of the government's ability to spend.
Well, I think across that dimension, yes. I think, the October budget we saw last year was the first budget. It was essentially just a reset and an opportunity for the new government to look through the accounts and work out where they stood. And they didn't deliver a whole lot in terms of new spending because they knew they couldn't for exactly the reasons that we've just described. However, I think this one will be a little bit different because it will take the next step and it will say, look, we've still got this high inflation challenge and we have to be cautious and therefore we need to bank a lot of the additional revenue that upside surprise they've got recently and not go out and spend it, not boost inflation more, as I've talked about it in a bit of detail. But it also needs to start, and I think it will, setting out a longer-term agenda, a broader agenda for what fiscal policy it needs to achieve over the coming years. And so I think that's going to be the difference between this budget and, say, the one we saw back in October. It's going to have more elements about the medium-term story. And a part of that's going to be finding ways to do a bit more reform so that we don't some of the programs that are very expensive, like the NDIS program, health spending, aged care, these are the things that are going to really blow the budget out over the medium term. And we expect them to start to describe ways that they might be adjusting those programs. There's going to be announcements for more defense spending. That seems fairly clear in the changing world that we face. There's going to be more defense spending that's going to come through here as, again, a medium-term type spending item. And then I think the other one that we really are going to see more detail on this time round is going to be more about the energy transition and the climate change challenge and the way that policy is going to be addressing that. So we're going to see more support for a shift towards greater usage of renewables, more support for electric vehicle usage, and we're going to see a continued adjustment of policy around the gas space as well. And that's going to feed into this cost of living story. So it will be different to what we saw back in October, in the sense that we expected to take this next step and to set out a broader, longer term, the beginnings of a broader, longer term agenda. But the primary thing that will likely be a feature of this budget is it won't be a big spending one. It will be one that's very focused on fighting the inflation challenge that the RBA is also fighting.
So I guess that's the backdrop for this year's budget. And in a moment, we're going to dive into some of the changes related to superannuation and taxation that we might see next week. Before we talk about superannuation and taxation, Paul, I'd like to talk about the cost of living, you know, something that you mentioned there. It's obviously a massive issue, you know, perhaps the major issue in Australian politics and society at the moment. So has the government given any indication as to whether there will be any relief on this front for households? And if so, in what ways might that come?
Well, we have to look out and see what they might do with Job Seeker. That's one element of this story that I think is potentially that could see some adjustments. So the unemployment benefit support. We have to look out for, again, more adjustments. I think so far a lot of what we know is that a lot of it may be related to energy costs. I mean, one of the big things that households are facing is an increasing expense is the price of electricity and the price of energy. And so more policy in that regard that seeks to try to contain the extent to which households face rising energy costs. I think that's going to be another element. And then another element to look out for will be policy with regard to the what's going on in terms of the rental market, the housing rental market, because one of the features, again, of the Australian economy right now is that, well, we've got a very tight rental market. This is partly being pump primed by a sort of pickup in population growth, but also that we just haven't been building enough houses to keep up. And so we may very well see more policy in that space that seeks to try to provide support. The difficulty there is it is a short-term problem right now. The challenge, though, requires medium-term sort of policy that fixes the problem in the medium term. It's primarily about the supply side. It's about delivering more housing to meet that demand. And that's a very difficult challenge. And it's not just a federal challenge. It's one that stems into state and even local governments. And so it's a problem we've had or a challenge we've had before and for a long time in Australia. So I looking out for areas of that where we may see policy changes that sort of seek to adjust those features to try to support people in the face of rising cost of living pressures.
Outside of cost of living, Paul, superannuation, taxation, that these are two kind of policy areas that government has been talking about a wee bit in recent months. Is there anything new or anything on those fronts that we're likely to, I guess, either see included or I guess, absent from the budget?
Well, so we know that there are going to be some adjustments to taxation of superannuation, and they've already been announced. And again, they'll be brought to bear as a part of the budget. We'll have to see if they decide to make any further adjustments, but a lot of that's already been sort of put out into the public domain. And the other discussion that's obviously at play is what happens to the tax cuts that are already sort of in place and whether they're going to go ahead with continuing to keep those. And so that will be another thing that's at play in the budget, although there hasn't been very clear guidance as to which way that will go. So that was a policy that was legislated under the previous government to give back the bracket creep. So as people move up through tax brackets, of course, they start to pay more income tax. And so there were these tax cuts legislated for a number of different years, and there's another stage of it yet to come. And so that's a possibility in terms of looking out for what they might decide to do in the budget. I think on net, we'll look at this budget and say that it probably does see higher taxes on net across the spectrum in terms of if you add up all the pieces together. And likewise, as I say, I think a lot of the spending announcements that we're going to see are going to be longer term, medium term type spending announcements that try to sort of that deal with things like the energy transition, increased in defence spending, as I say, that we've already talked about to a degree, and they're going to be more out-year type spending initiatives with the intention that not a lot more spending is delivered in the short run, because if the net effect was to be more spending now and, say, lowered taxes now, then that would actually potentially boost the economy more and work against this challenge that the RBA faces that inflation is too high. So as I set out right at the beginning of this conversation, it's not an easy place to be a fiscal policymaker, because there's a really sort of quite narrow set of narrow pathway, as it were, that they can travel if they want to achieve all of those objectives that I've just set out, which is don't boost inflation in the short run, somehow provide support for the cost of living pressures for certain parts of the community in the short run, though, and then try to set out a broader medium-term agenda that deals with the bigger structural issues, which are that the government, the budget is in a structural budget deficit. It is not, the budget will not, the current set of fiscal policy settings, the tax and spending system, will not deliver enough revenue to meet all of the expenses that we expect to see over coming years. And so adjustments will need to be made over the medium term to remedy that. We need to find ways to either cut back on spending or lift taxes in the medium term. Or the better solution, of course, would be to grow the economy faster, to do reform that grows the economy faster. But that's always the most difficult one to achieve, and the one that, again, doesn't really deliver its benefits until the medium term.
Paul, you've ticked off so many areas there already. So I think this is an excellent place for us to leave it today. And obviously, we'll have to wait until next Tuesday and until we see what's actually in there. But thank you so much for giving us such a great preview, and really look forward to having you back on the pod again soon.
Thanks very much.
Before we go, don't forget that we'd love to hear from you if you have any questions, comments, or even story ideas for the show. So to send something our way, make sure you use our dedicated email, which is podcast@moneymag.com.au. And if you love the show and love listening to it, you can help spread the word by sharing it or recommending it to your own friends or family. Or you can leave us a glowing review on iTunes or the Apple Podcast app. So both really do help us out. So a big thanks to those of you who have already shared or reviewed. Last of all, you can keep up to date with all the latest financial news, including coverage of the federal budget, on our website by heading over to moneymag.com.au. That's it for this episode of the Friends with Money podcast, though, but we'll be right back in your feeds next week. I'm Tom Watson. Bye for now.
Thanks for listening to the Friends with Money podcast. For credible, independent, and easy to understand financial commentary, visit moneymag.com.au. Please remember that the views and opinions expressed in this podcast are general in nature, and further independent advice and research based on your personal circumstances should be sought before making an investment decision.